141, I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about the Safe Surrender Program tonight. What is it and how does it work? We are, of course, joined by Judge Lynn Leibovitz. She is the Deputy Presiding Judge of the D.C. Superior Court's Criminal Division, and also Willie Jones. He was a Safe Surrender participant back in 2007. We are answering as many questions and as many phone calls as we can. If you think that you may benefit or someone else may benefit from this program, you can give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Keith, calling from D.C. Thanks for hanging on, Keith. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just wanted to know, what about if you got more than one warrant? And the second question, if you got warrants in another state, because I don't know who said it, but I said they hold you if you got a warrant in a different state. So I mean, can you just elaborate on that a little bit?
Judge. The program is generally designed for people who have outstanding bench warrants for not showing up in court for a D.C. matter. And if that's you, turn yourself in. And as I said, 98% of people went home in the last two programs we did. However,
more than one?
But if you have more than one, or if you have an out-of-state warrant, I can't tell you what will happen to you in your particular situation. You should talk to a lawyer, because I would only once you check in and they look up what you have will you really know what's going to happen. And so I can't make you promises if you have a number of outstanding warrants, including a warrant from another jurisdiction. And you really should talk to a lawyer.
Yeah, but they only check D.C. warrant, but they don't check no statewide.
No, they do check.
Yeah.
They check all your warrants, and you should probably check on dccourts.gov/safe-surrender to see what that tells you about your outstanding warrants. And you can talk to a lawyer and have that lawyer check on what you have.
Okay.
Thank you.
Keith, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Antonio, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Antonio. What's on your mind?
Okay. I was listening to the radio, and I was, basically going through a similar thing that the guy was just speaking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I caught a charge back in 85, and I was sentenced to a 5 to 15 year sentence. Okay, I violated my parole back in 95 and caught a 10 year sentence, right? And actually, I saw the parole board back in 99. They actually told me once I finished doing my time on that new sentence, actually would eat up my entire sentence that I had left in D.C., because all I had left was like 2-3 more years on parole, right? Which if they took my street time, I probably had about 5 years left, okay? But my thing was just here. Actually, after getting out, after serving the 9 years, after getting out, I was on the street for 6 years, okay? One day, I got stopped by the police on a little traffic because my lights, headlights wasn't on. And they told me I had an outstanding warrant. So actually, when they told me I had the warrant, they said the warrant was 16 years old.
Hmm.
Okay, now, I'm saying 16 years old. I mean, come on, man.
So is that a parole warrant you had or a warrant for a case?
Actually, it was a parole. They said it was a parole violation.
Well,
after,
Let's see, Antonio, what the judge has to say. One of the things I think I'm catching an understanding of is that not all of these situations are cut and dry.
Exactly. Everybody's in their own unique situation. But this program actually is also for people who have outstanding parole warrants. And sometimes people at least have a suspicion that they might have an outstanding parole warrant. They might have not shown up for a visit with a PO or something like that. They might suspect. If you think you do, go on the website, see if you have that warrant. And the chairperson of the parole board is at the court waiting to see you on Saturday. And as you said, it's not a good experience to be pulled over by the police and to learn you have an outstanding warrant. The handcuffs get put on you. You probably see the inside of a jail cell, and you don't get to see a judge till at least the next day. The advantage of turning yourself in this program on the next two Saturdays is you walk in and 98% of people walk back out of the building after having their warrants quashed.
Okay. Antonio, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Before I go back to the phones, help me understand, without this program, is it likely that if someone perhaps turned themselves in, that with a nonviolent violation, a nonviolent warrant, that they may serve or they may be stuck in jail, as opposed to if they participate in this program? Is there something specifically about this program that provides leniency where they otherwise may not receive it?
Well, whenever anyone turns him or herself in on a warrant, that is taken into consideration by the judge. It's not a promise of anything, but mm-hmm. you certainly get credit for turning yourself in. And in this program, if people turn themselves in on this program on the next two Saturdays, the judges are taking into account the fact that people turn themselves in. It's an act of good faith. And as I said, 98% of people walk out after having the warrant quashed. Can I add that I've been suggesting that people get legal advice if they feel they need it? And the Public Defender Service will provide legal advice for free. Their number is 202-628-1200. And so if you're wondering what could happen to you or you want some advice about whether to turn yourself in, you should call that number. In addition, when people do turn themselves in the courthouse, they are given their own lawyers. And so they will have legal counsel when they talk to the judge to address their warrant.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. D, calling from West Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I have the comment that I wanted to make. Is I don't know if it's legitimate or not, but I just wanted to throw it out there, given the season that we're in with I like the idea of this safe surrender program, and I can appreciate what the judge said about, you know, you're not giving a amnesty to everyone to say that if you turn yourself in that you will not do any time or anything like that. I heard the statistics of 98% that they mostly will walk out. But my concern is, given the criticality of this upcoming election and folks that may turn themselves in, that may do time, it takes a number of folks out of that process that is so very important for African Americans, and this election is just so
critical. Hold on, D. You're getting way down in weeds, and I'm trying to understand, what is your question? What's your question?
My comment.
Oh, comment. Yeah, because I'm not understanding what you're saying.
What I'm trying to say is the timing of this type of a program being right before a very important election, and knowing that African Americans are disproportionately have these type of records or warrants or these type of things, and so it's like a targeted group of folks that are, every vote will be critical for this upcoming election.
Are you suggesting that perhaps someone who participates in this program may not be able to vote?
Well, if they have to...
I understand what you're saying. Yeah, you're concerned that people are, if they turn themselves in now, they'll be locked up at the time that they could vote, and that would keep people out of the voting booths. Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
And well, here's the thing. If a person has an outstanding warrant, they could be arrested at any time, right? You get pulled over by the police while driving. You apply for a job and they run your information. You're at home one night and the marshals show up at the door and you get locked up. And so it's not that you're not at risk of being locked up when you have an outstanding warrant. You are. If you turn yourself in on this date, you're kind of controlling the circumstances in which you address the warrant. And so given that 98% of people actually do walk out when they turn themselves in, it's probably a safer, better way to resolve the risk that you could be arrested at any time. And so I think the goal of the program, honestly, is to reduce the chance that people will be incarcerated in an unpredictable way and at a time that, you know, it's important that everybody be able to get to the voting booth.
Mr. Jones.
And your chances.
Hold on a minute. I want Mr. Jones to also chime in. Go right ahead.
Okay. I just want to say your chances is much better of getting out when you get, if you turn yourself in on one of these Saturdays, then being caught out there. And like I said, I'm a felon myself, but I vote with no problem. And it's a now is the best time. If you're trying to turn some things around, the judge may can't say that she can guarantee you getting out. But I would say this. I've been doing this program since 2007. And 98% of the people go home. Like I said earlier, 66 people turned themselves in Saturday. 65 went home. One guy had an outstanding warrant. That's the normal procedure. If you want it in Canada, D.C. got to turn you over to Canada. But if you come down there with a nonviolent warrant, we got 12,000 warrants in D.C. Most of them are for traffic, fail to appear, parole violations.
And Dee, if I may add, and I know your concern about, you know, the disenfranchisement of African Americans. Safe Surrender, even though we're talking about this program in D.C., this program is not new, and it is not just in Washington, D.C. This program has been happening for years at different times of the year in various and sundry areas across the country, in some areas where there may be a majority population of African Americans, and in some parts, not so many. And so certainly, while I do understand your question, this Safe Surrender program, wherever it is happening, is impacting all segments of the population. But thank you so much for your concern in that regard, and I appreciate the judge sharing her thoughts about that. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tanya, calling from Silver Spring, what's on your mind?
I was just calling to see if this program was available in Montgomery County.
Well, this is a program that's been reproduced in various places around the country, but the one we're talking about tonight is happening only in D.C. It's our program, and it's happening on three Saturdays in September. We had one Saturday last week on the 10th. The next one's going to be this Saturday on the 17th. The next one after that will be the 24th, each time from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Moultrie Courthouse, 500 Indiana Avenue.
I don't know if I shared this with Judge Leibowitz, but Maryland, Prince George's County, and Capitol Heights Police, they reached out to me because they know I promote this program in D.C. and asked me if they could get the program going, would I promote the program for them? So Maryland has an idea about this program.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Tanya. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Mr. Jones, you spoke about what happened to you back in 2007. When you went through the program, when you turned yourself in, what happened specifically? What happened in court?
Like I said, I walked in Bible Way Church. They interviewed me. Then they set me up with Judge Rufus King. Mm-hmm. I walked in the office where he was. We was in Bible Way Church.
So it was held. That's where it was held.
It was held at Bible Way Church.
And okay. Since then, in 2011 and this year, we're doing it in the courthouse.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And like I said, he asked me, why didn't I come back to court? What was my court date? He said, I'm looking at your reasons charge. What was your charge? And I told him. And then right after that, he squashed the warrant and gave me a new court date. And I went in front of Judge Lynn Leibowitz sitting here, and she gave me 2 years probation. Safe Surrender. In 2007, before I turned myself in, I was messed up. Mm-hmm. I was on anything that would change my mood. Crack, heroin, alcohol, whatever it was. Since I've turned myself in 2007, it's 2016. I ain't finding it necessary to use anymore. It's a great program.
I want to talk to you about those 2 years probation, too, because it sounds to me like that may have been the turning point for you at some point.
Yes.
I want to talk a little bit more about that, but I need to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the program and find out as much as we can. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in... Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're continuing the conversation about the Safe Surrender Program here in the District of Columbia, what it is and how it works. Of course, I'm with Judge Lynn Leibovitz. She is the deputy presiding judge of the D.C. Superior Court's Criminal Division. And Willie Jones, he was a Safe Surrender participant way back in 2007. If you have any questions, you can still give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Now, Mr. Jones, you were saying that you were given 2 years probation after participating in the program back in 2007. And as you mentioned in your words, you said before you went to court, you were messed up and you were really probably at a crossroads of your life. So what happened during those 2 years? What did you do?
I got into a program at where I work now called Project Empowerment. Mm-hmm. I got me a job. And when I went in front of Judge Leibovitz, she told me, Mr. Jones, you got to continue to work and continue to do good like you're doing now. Mm-hmm. That stuck in my head because I've always heard about Judge Leibovitz. And that stuck in my head. And when I got on probation, I got me a job. I continued to work. I went to work every day. I continued to stay in compliance and went and see my probation parole officer like I supposed to. Mm-hmm. The 2 years went by quick, and they gave me a little fine. I paid my fine. And that was the end of my probation.
How did you two get together?
Well, it's what Mr. Jones is saying is true. The reason he had a bench warrant in 2007 was he failed to appear in my courtroom for sentencing for a felony drug charge. And he was afraid. And he's saying I had a reputation, I guess. And
yes.
He thought he might
yes.
go to jail. And so
no.
when
yes. no.
he yes. turned himself in Operation Safe Surrender, I knew he was a part of that program. I knew that's how he came back. I knew he had walked in of his own accord. I also knew he had helped a lot of other people decide to come in and turn themselves in. And so when he came to me for sentencing after he had been released by Judge King, I took into consideration the fact that he had turned himself in, that he had been in safe surrender, that he had helped other people make the right decision. And so rather than giving him a little bit of time for fleeing instead of coming for sentencing like he should have, I gave him straight probation. And I gave him 2 years probation, which means I thought he needed to work on some stuff, I think. And I did say that I hoped he would take advantage of it and do well. And he did.
How much flexibility do you have as a judge when you're participating in this program if someone perhaps doesn't have anything severe on their record?
Well, any judge has an enormous amount of flexibility within the law mm-hmm. to make whatever decision he or she thinks is right. And if people turn themselves in Operation Safe Surrender on that Saturday, we have judges who are well aware that people are making a choice, that they are choosing to turn themselves in a safe way, that they are sparing the marshals the mess of having to go look for them and arrest them. And so all of the judges are going to take that into account. It's not that they are required to by law. It's not that they have to. It's not that anyone else is going to stand at the courtroom door and tell them what to do. But the judges all understand that this program is important, and we give full consideration to people who have turned themselves in. Nobody can guarantee the outcome in any particular case, but like I've said, 98% of people who turn themselves in Operation Safe Surrender have their warrants quashed and go home.
Earlier, we were talking to Reginald, and he made a comment about something called a Noble's Law or something. Are you familiar with what he was talking about? Something that happened back in 1974. He said he was convicted under that and that this has followed him. Do you know what he was speaking about?
I didn't fully understand him. I think he was talking about either a career criminal type of law or a three strikes type of law, but I'm just guessing. I didn't actually understand what he meant, unless you did, Willie.
I'm thinking that he's talking about once you under the Noble Law, you can't take the street time.
What does that mean?
That means, like, normally if you go back in on a violation and you've been in the street 5 years, they'll take the street time and put it on the back. So if you were supposed to get off in 2010, they'll push it back to 2015.
Okay, and that sounds like what he was talking about, which really kind of undergirds his fear of going back into the system. Now, what happens? Okay, this is happening on a Saturday. You know, there's an old saying, the worst time to be arrested is on a Friday. Does this mean that you do get out, if you're going to get out at all on a Saturday, going before the judge during this program, as opposed to perhaps if you get arrested on a Friday, you have to wait on Monday?
Exactly. What it means is we have court on Saturdays anyway. So if you're arrested on a Friday, you are likely to see a judge on Saturday anyway. But if you're arrested, the handcuffs are put on you. You are taken to the police district. You're kept in a cell. You're brought to the central cell block. The next morning, you're processed. And then you see a judge starting around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. If you walk in on Operation Safe Surrender, you see a judge as soon as they've run your information. If they see you have a warrant, they give you a lawyer. You talk to the lawyer and you see the judge within an hour, 2 hours, as soon as you're ready. And if you're released, you walk out that day. So it's a lot quicker, easier way to, if you have a warrant, to deal with it than getting arrested unexpectedly on the street.
Yeah. I seen a guy Saturday when we were down there. He was out the courtroom within 8 minutes. He had a warrant, failure to appear, and he got arrested for an open container.
Okay.
And within 8 minutes, he was in and out the courtroom. And I sat right there and watched it.
Do you have an opportunity to talk to some of the people who come in? And
I talk to all of them. Mm-hmm. Not all. I talk to some.
Mm-hmm. What do they say to you?
They say, well, I say to them, hey, look, man, I'm more like you than different. And I just explain, when 2007, when the Safe Surrender Press came here, I was the first guy in Washington, D.C. to turn himself into this program. And I tell them how my life has enhanced and how my life has gotten better. You know, and, you know, I got a job. You know, I do what normal people do now. I go on vacation.
You vote.
I vote. it's an awesome program. Mm-hmm. It turned my life around 300%.
And, you know, one thing Mr. Jones talks about is the stress you have if you have a warrant. I mean, all the people who have called in, they are stressed. Some have even remarked they're having mental health issues because of it. And it's stressful. Mr. Jones will tell you that if you know you have something hanging over your head like that, there's a lot of stuff a person can't do. They're on the run. They don't travel. They don't apply for jobs. If they drive, they know there's a chance they'll be pulled over and arrested.
Is she right?
And if you can clear it out, you can get on with your life.
That's the thing that I was thinking about in the beginning of the program, is that if you know that this is hanging over your head and sleepless nights and all of that, particularly if it is not a violent situation, if it is a small thing, and then, of course, you run into, you know, a police officer during the course of a traffic violation or anything that could, you know, have you encounter, you know, the law, it can mess you up.
Yeah, if you get caught out there, I'm almost sure, with a bench warrant, you can get it. You can stay in jail from 9 to 18 months. If you come on down now with a bench warrant, I'm almost sure. Like you say, 98% of the people go home the same day. Mm-hmm. I sit there and watch. I go to the courthouse every Saturday, all three Saturdays. I'll be there this Saturday at 9 o'clock. And I had a few phone calls. Some guys going to meet me on Saturday, and they're going to come on down with me.
And the 9 to 18 months he's talking about, not necessarily. I mean, it really depends on the charge. If you get caught on a warrant for POCA, possession of an open container of alcohol, no one's spending 9 to 18 months
I'm talking about
locked up.
Them parole violations. I've had several.
Oh, okay.
I've had several.
Now, explain that, because I would imagine, obviously, that a parole violation would be much more serious than a POCA?
Well, if you're on parole, you have what we used to call backup time. In other words, there's a period of time that is reserved for you on your sentence that you will serve if you violate your parole. And anyone who's on parole knows how much exposure they have if they violate. It depends on the sentence you have and how much time you would serve if you're violated on your parole. But I think that's what Mr. Jones is talking about. If you're on parole and you get violated, it's actually not the judge that deals with you. It's the parole commission that deals with you. And you could serve, if you take a hit, any whatever period of time they give you, up to however much time is left on your sentence.
And I want to share one thing before we go.
Sure.
I just want to let everyone know, when you're dealing with this Safe Surrender program, it's not just a judge and the police officers like they do stings. It's a team of people. You're dealing with judges, lawyers, prosecutors, judge, the parole the parole commissioner, you're dealing with pretrial, all this together. And I just wanted to let people know that.
And also the United States Marshals are there. It's true. A number of different agencies are there that need to get credit because they're all working on a Saturday. They're all working overtime. But the United States Marshals, the Pretrial Services Agency,
that's right.
The CSOSA, the agency that supervises parole and probation, a lot of court staff, a bunch of judges, and the chairperson of the United States Parole Commission. And I'm sure I'm leaving some people out, but there's a lot of people at work.
What impact does this have on court backlog? Does this help clear stuff out?
What it clears out is outstanding warrants. There are about 12,000 outstanding warrants, and the goal is to get as many of them off the books as possible. It doesn't change the court burden, the caseload, the backlog at all, because these are cases that exist, right? They haven't been resolved because the person hasn't come back. If they do come back, they get resolved pretty quickly. There are people who come back with warrants that have been out since the 1980s. And so actually, in the last couple of times this program was done, people who had pending charges, 40% of those cases were actually dismissed on the day that they turned themselves in. And if we can resolve the case the day you come in, safe surrender, if we can resolve it, we will resolve it.
Because it seems to me, let's just throw out a number. Let's say that there were 100 people turning themselves in every Saturday for 3 weeks. That's 300 warrants. That's 300 pieces of paperwork that don't have to be dealt with during the course of a 9-to-5 work week. And I think that while that may have a slight impact on the 12,000, let's assume that 12,000 didn't change. That's 12,000 minus 300.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, every single warrant that the marshals execute, they have to track the person down using databases. They call witnesses. They call up family members. They do a lot of work just to locate the person. And then they don't just send one member of the Marshal Service. They send, you know, a couple or a team, depending on whether they think it's a dangerous situation. And everyone's in danger at that moment. It's unpredictable. They don't know who's going to answer the door, who else is going to be there. And so it's a lot of resources to arrest one person.
Well, let us hope that people decide to make this change to participate in the Safe Surrender Program. Of course, as we said before, you can find out the information at dccourts.gov/safe-surrender. Also, as always, we will be posting that information on whur.com, on our website, on the Daily Drum page. Again, this Saturday, the 17th, and the Saturday after that, the 24th of September, from 9 in the morning until 4 o'clock in the afternoon at the Moultrie Courthouse, 500 Indiana Avenue Northwest, here in the District of Columbia. Judge, Mr. Jones, thank you both for participating.